Good to see each of you here tonight. We're using the 101 books. If you would turn to number 14. This is a favorite song, I think, of many of us. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you're able to stand, let's do so. Please just sing.
Words of command.
the extreme high notes during the verses, and then it goes down into the basement during the chorus. It's a good song. A lot of good truth in that song. And it looks like maybe I need to go back to my old classes. I keep making mistakes in reading the words. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Good to see each other here tonight. Pastor, do you want to mention about what we talked about, anything at all from the meeting earlier for those that were here? Or do you want me to summarize it briefly? Okay. All right. The two main subjects that we talked about during our meeting following the morning service early this afternoon was talking about missions and what God would have us do. We want to be praying about that. Obviously, we've been supporting Pastor Reddy for a very lengthy time, and we need to pray that God will give us wisdom as to what he would have us do as far as Pastor Reddy is concerned. And then the other part of missions he brought about is we have all these folks that are listed on the bulletin board here on the side, and it would be nice to see what support we could give to them, to see what God would do through our church. And then any others that God might bring to mind. Obviously, the big concern is making sure that we know who these people are and what they stand for. Right. We can't put our support behind them if we have no idea who they are and what they're teaching and preaching and so forth. And we would do the same thing for any that God might call from our church here to send forth, whether it be here in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Before we send anybody out under our auspices, we need to know exactly who that person is, what their character is like, and where they're coming from. And so that's important. And so we need to be careful and have the wisdom to know what God would have us do. The second item is this service and the possibility of changing it to an earlier time. And so what Pastor is going to do is he wants us to pray about it for this week. And then he's going to be handing out papers that have possible earlier times on it. And you can vote for which one you prefer. And then based on majority vote, we will see what the Lord will do. Okay? So I think we agreed that going earlier than 5 o'clock would not be the best thing to do, primarily because it wouldn't be an evening service anymore. And also the consideration of each one of us that are here in the morning and come back for the evening to have an appropriate amount of time as a break in between the services. So, but anyway, we want the Lord's wisdom in both of these areas and see what God would do for us. I don't have any other announcements that I know of.
So, okay. April 11th, Brother Jeffcoat is supposed to be here, missionary to India. So he's supposed to be here Sunday morning. He'll take the Sunday morning service. And then what we're going to do is we're not going to have him, we're going to have the evening service, but it's simply going to start at 2:30. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Lord willing all the men that have been filling in the pulpit since Pastor Freeman passed and been helping the church out for the last 4 years. We're going to invite those men that are preaching and filming to come up here for a special service so we can give them a gift and say thank you as a church to them. Nice. For their help that they've been for 4 years, Brother Matt Lindsay will be doing the service and kind of officiating it because this church here wants to do an installation service for me and my family. I've never done an installation service before, so I have no clue what that entails. But this church has never done an installation service because it was the pastor had always been here. So it'll be something new for all of us, and we'll get to experience that. But that'll be April 11th, Lord willing, at 2:30. So in between the morning service, Brother Jeffco ends to 2:30, Lord willing, we're going to have a fellowship downstairs with food. If you want to stay, you can. We're going to have food for those men to be here and for our church members here. Just a time of fellowship, and then we'll pick back up at 2:30 and do a short little service, an installation service, and say thank you to those men. I'd also like to think about, too, Lord willing, Brother Jason will get back, will be about all the men that can attend. What I would like to do when I find that out is to see if any of you all would be willing to donate. I'd like to get like little baskets and maybe put some treats in it, some little things just to put in there for them. And then the church will try to get some gift cards for them, just to say thank you to them as a token of our appreciation for what they've done for the last 4 years. And then those that can't make it, I'll send a card to them with a gift certificate in it for those that couldn't make it that April 11th. So that's the plans right now for Sunday, April 11th. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them.
Okay. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. While we're thinking about that, let me reiterate what Pastor was talking about earlier today. There is a special booklet that he would like to get for each one of us that involves some nice memory verses and a good method that would make the verses easy to memorize. And so he'll be implementing that as soon as we're done with this passage in Titus. So looking forward to that time. Can show the book later. Okay. All right. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We'll say them together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Don't know about you, but every time we say this, it's convicting to me that we aren't doing what we should be doing in that area, and we all need to improve in it. Okay. Let's take our 101 books and turn once again. Pastor was going to do this song at the end of the morning service, but we ran out of time. But the Lord worked things out because I already had it planned for tonight. So it's song number 27, Oh, I Want to See Him.
Christ will meet you there. Come while we wait. first.
So if we butcher it, you're going to have to help us out.
Something's going on. It's just like that woman who had that infirmity, and she touched the hem of the garment, and immediately she knew something was going on. Immediately. I'm not turned on. That's good that I'm not turned on, because I don't want to be turned on just yet, brother. I'm glad you raised your hand there, because that reminded me of something. So I'm going to take my jacket off, because I'm a little warm right now. But I before I go into the message this evening, And I don't want this recorded. That's why I didn't turn it on. I just want to bring this up again. That I just want to say this real quick before we go into the message. Romans chapter 12. We're going to go on here in our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, please stand as we read verse number 7. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer and begin to study tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, help us always to walk in humility. Lord, help us to walk humbly with you. Help us to walk as our precious Savior walked. Lord, not excusing sin, but also being willing to try to go out there and help individuals see the truth. Lord, we can't make them receive the truth, but Lord, we can show love, we can show mercy, we can show grace, and we can have a right attitude. And Lord, whether they receive it or not, that's on them, Father, but help us to make sure our spirit is right. Help us not to be lifted up with pride and arrogancy and a froward mouth, but Lord, help us to walk humbly with you. I pray you'd help us now in this next little bit, Lord, to get something out of your word that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in, to help us to stay faithful and continue to fight the good fight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, I'm going to pick up here reading in verse number 4. It says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Verse number 7 this evening. "So that ye were in samples to all that believe," where? "In Macedonia and in Achaia." So Paul's telling the church here as he writes this letter to them that they were in samples to other individuals in that area, in Macedonia and also in Achaia. Well, what does the word ensample mean? Ensample means an example or a pattern or model for imitation. So Paul is telling those brethren there that they are an example, that they're a model for how a Christian ought to walk out, how a Christian ought to live, and how a Christian ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The question this evening is this: are we an ensample of righteousness and holiness to those that we're around on a daily basis? Take your Bible and flip on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Verse number 1, Paul telling the Corinthian church, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now look what it says in verse 6. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." You see, the reason why it's important to spend time in the Old Testament is because God's put that there for an example to us how we should follow the Lord. The children of Israel and how God brought them out of Egypt, how they wandered in the wilderness, how God brought them into the promised land. We can learn from all these things and what they went through in order to help us that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. It's better to learn from someone else and what they went through rather than you having to go through it yourself. I would rather learn from someone else that drinking can cause problems rather than me having to experience myself to get the same wisdom. Does that make sense? I don't want to go through it. If I can learn from somebody else who's been through it and realize, yeah, that's not good, I'd rather do that than experience myself and say, yeah, that's not good. So God's saying in verse number 6 through the Holy Spirit, he says, verse 6, "Now these were our examples." Verse number 7, "Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents." Now, look what it says in verse 10. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition to us, the church, specifically to the Corinthian church, but even to us today. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So
Paul tells the Corinthian church here, listen, what Moses and the children of Israel went through, they're examples and in samples unto us about what can happen if you don't walk with God the right way. If you murmur and complain, if you tempt Christ, if you commit fornication, if you have idols, these things are an example to us. And that's what Paul's saying. So take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17. Philippians 3 and verse number 17. Remember, the Bible says to the Thessalonians there in verse number 7, so that they were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Well, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. What does the Bible say that the devil can be transformed into? An angel of light. And his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Not wickedness. They can be transformed. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how that can be. How a devil can be transformed into a minister of righteousness. But the Bible does talk about them holding the word of truth, not right, in deception. And here Paul is giving warning to those in Philippi. He's saying, brethren, you need to find, this is what he's saying. He said, you need to find somebody that loves God, loves God's word, and you need to follow them as them being an ensample to you in your life. And as them being an example, and walk with them and keep your eyesight on them. And the reason Paul's saying that they need to follow him, he says in verse 18, because the reason I'm wanting you to know this, he's telling them, is because there's many enemies of the cross of Christ out there, whom I have told you often, even tell you weeping. Well, here we go. Here's some red flags like I was talking about earlier. Well, Paul, what should we look for? Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who, look what it says, who mind earthly things. If a preacher gets up to say, I want your money, there's a red flag. Ding, 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 something's not right, because a preacher ought not to be doing that. You need to be giving money. If a preacher's consistently harping on you need to give money, something's not right there, because that's not what God's called us to do, is to ask people for money. Right? So there's a little red flag. If you see a preacher who minds earthly things, how do they live? Does he have a private jet in the backyard? Okay, ding, 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 there's probably a problem. Is he driving a 2021 Mercedes? Ding, 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 there's probably maybe a problem. Now, is there anything wrong if a man gets... No, so he get an inheritance and somebody could give it to him. So we got to be careful, we don't assume. But I'm saying, you take all these things in and see how does he live his life? Is he an example to what the word of God said a preacher or a brother or sister in Christ should be? And if they are, follow them and learn from them. Verse number 20. Look what Paul says. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow those that put the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that are their eyesight. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. If you're talking to someone and they're always talking about just worldly things, it might not be good to be around them a lot, because they're going to draw you away to the things of the earth. But if you're around individuals whose mindset and eyes are towards heavenly things, it's probably a good person to be around. Because their mind and their conversation and their heart is towards the things of heaven, which is Paul says here in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we wake up, we ought to look and be prepared for the Lord's return. I think about it most every day. This could be the day the Lord returns. There's not a day I can go by that I can think that I don't think about my Savior. Now, do I do right every day? No. Do I do everything I should be doing for the day at hand? No. But there is, in my mind, I know who my Savior is, and I do think about him every day. That's correct, and that's what needs to be there for your conversation should be in heaven. So Paul says, Be careful, these individuals in verse number 19. So how do we know who is following Christ? Number one, their God is not their belly. They are not taken with the pleasures of the flesh. That's an individual you like to follow. Number two, those that somebody be warned of, they often glory in themselves. They are full of themselves and what they can do or have done. That's an individual to be careful of. Real quick, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 23. Here are, again, some red flags, some things that you can put in the back of your mind to keep there to base off of, is this individual loving God and serving God, or is this someone that I probably shouldn't be listening to or being around? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Do not be surprised if you try to witness to somebody that they despise you. If they despise you, that means you're probably doing the right thing. If they think what you're talking about is foolishness, if they think you go to church three times a day and also on Wednesday, and they think, well, that's foolishness, you go to church that must, then you're probably doing the right thing, because that's in church that they're going to think the things of Christ are foolish. They're going to think you're crazy. You go to church three times on Sunday? You're there for three services? One time ain't enough. I want to be around my Savior and I want to be around my brethren. And they're going to think that's foolish. Look at verse number 29. Why does God do these things? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Another red flag. If a man starts glorying in what he has done or accomplished, that's a red flag. Because it's not him that's done it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, if anything has been done. If anything's done in his church, it's because of Jesus Christ. And only because of Jesus Christ. The only reason I can be standing up here this evening is because of Jesus Christ. Outside, Chris Weldon, outside of Jesus Christ, is wicked and undone. Any good that you might see in Chris Weldon is not Chris Weldon, but Christ living through Chris Weldon. He has given me the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to do the right things, and it's the same for all of you out there. There's no good thing in us outside of our precious Savior, and it's him to whom we give glory and honor. It's not to us. What happened? It was Uzziah, am I saying it right, who touched the Ark of the Covenant, because he was trying to hold it there, and God smote him dead, because God doesn't need help. And he probably meant well, but God doesn't, you don't touch the glory of God. It's all to him. And when we start taking the glory unto ourselves, we start getting ourselves into trouble, because then we think we're something and that we've obtained somewhere. No, it's all Christ. It's all him. All glory, all honor, all praise to the Savior. He's the one that's given us the ability to live a godly and a holy life to the Father. And outside of him, there's nothing good in me, and there's nothing good in you outside of Christ. You know, at one time, Adolf Hitler was a little baby in a crib. At one time, he was born and he was a little innocent baby in a crib that wouldn't have hurt a fly. Couldn't have hurt a fly. And the reason I bring him up is somebody says, well, he was a wicked man. Well, if you were raised in the same situation he was raised in, you might have done the same thing. You see, If we were raised in a different home, in a different country, in a different nation, in a different situation, we might just be like some of these people that we might look down upon. So let us realize that we could be just as bad as some of the worst people out there if it wasn't for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God that pulled us out of the pit in the direction that we were heading, we could have been in just as bad a situation as some of these individuals out here are in. And it's only by Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1 in Corinthians. And I, brethren, here's something to look forward to. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse number 2. For I determined not to know anything among you. What did Paul want to know? Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't look to put your faith and your trust in man. Put your faith and trust in the power of God, and he'll see you through anything that you might have to go through in your life, because he is the one that sustains us. I said it this morning. There's only so far that I can help you, or you could help me. There's only so much my wife can do for me and I can do for her. There's only so much I can do for you as a brother in Christ and you as a brother or sister in Christ to me. There's only so far that we can help one another. But there comes a point sometimes in our lives that the only one that can sustain us and hold us up is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where God wants us to turn. Those times where we feel like giving up and nobody else can seem to help us. But Jesus Christ is there, and he knows, he's been touched with our infirmities. He knows what we go through. There's nothing we're going to go through that the Lord's going to look down and say, well, oh, I never experienced that, and I never really thought about that type of situation. No, he knows, and he can help, and he can be there for us. But God says that there should be individuals in our lives that are examples and in samples. You know what I like to put the emphasis on? I like to put the emphasis on character. I don't really care what you look like on the outside. I don't really put much emphasis. Do I think that you should dress modest and both men and women? I believe both men and women should dress modestly. But I put more emphasis on the inside. And there's a lot, like I said earlier, independent Baptists who put a lot of emphasis on the outside, but the inside stinks. And what it does is it creates hypocrisy, and it creates an atmosphere that kids grow up in it, and they see that, and often when they grow up, they just run from it because they don't want nothing to do with it. Put the emphasis on character. Put the emphasis on humility. Put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. And when you do so, everything else will fall into its proper place. If you love Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything else will fall in the right place. You'll love your brethren like you should love your brethren. You'll love your family like you should love your family. You'll be pleasing to God the way you should be pleasing to God because you put him first. And I know when you put God first, everything else will fall into its proper place. But if you try to put the emphasis on something else, even though it's a good thing, but it's not behind the Lord and the Lord putting emphasis on it, you're going to run into problems and you're going to run into issues. There's a lot of preachers out there who say you throw your television out. They'll do television parties and they'll bust them up. But I've seen hypocrisy with that also. You need to get rid of your television. You need to do this. Do you need to be careful with television? Absolutely, you need to be careful with the television. You need to be careful what comes through the television. Absolutely. But the television is not the problem. Just like a gun is not the problem. It's what you do with that, what you do with that gun, what you do with that television, what you do with that computer. Because I've had preachers before say, you know, you shouldn't have no internet, you should have no computer. And then 2 minutes later, they're coming up to the secretary in the church saying, hey, can you check my email? Do you not see the hypocrisy in that? You just blasted it from the pulpit, and then 2 minutes later after the service is over, you're going to ask somebody to check your email. What I'm saying is be careful we don't place the emphasis on the outside when the emphasis should be on the inside. Because if the inside's where it needs to be, the outside will take care of itself. Lastly, and I'll close. Number 3, they mind earthly things. Paul says that the God is their belly. He talks about they mind earthly things. To mind means to attend to fix the thoughts on, to regard with attention. Earthly means pertaining to the earth or to this world, not heavenly. Earthly can also mean vile and mean. Not mean like I'm angry at you, but mean as being, the word mean, M-E-A-N, can also mean base or low. And that's what it means in this definition here, is they mind earthly things, they mind low things, they mind base things of this earth. Be careful of individuals that may be like that, who are opposed to spiritual or heavenly things. Lastly, close with this thought. What so often do those who are around talk about? Those that you spend time with, those that you're around most, or you spend your most of your time around, what is the emphasis and what is talked about? Where are their affections? Now, Brother Jason's a pretty big guy. And if I brought him over here and I tried to lift him up here, he's going to pull me down a lot easier than I'm going to pull him up to where I'm at. Most people in here, you take somebody else who may not be as big as him, it's going to be a lot easier for them to pull me down to where they're at down there than me to pull them up to where I'm at. And it's a lot with our relationships and those that we're around. It's going to be a lot easier for them to pull you down to them than you to pull them up where you're at. Take your Bible and look at Psalm chapter 17, verse number 13. Psalm chapter 17, verse 13. Just give me a few more seconds here. Psalm chapter 17, verse 13. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17 and verse number 13, the Bible says this. It says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Last two verses, flip on over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." If that doesn't talk about Stephen Anderson or label Stephen Anderson, I don't know what does. There's also this thing going around Independent Baptists now about that repentance is a work. That you shouldn't be preaching repentance. We're losing our minds. The Bible says to repent. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and repentance towards God. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is all through the New Testament. How can you say that repentance is a work? If repentance is a work, then being contrite and having a broken heart is a work. But the Bible talks about here, Peter tells them, he says, be careful, they'll bring in damnable heresies. Even it's going to get to the point, brethren, to where they're even going to deny the Lord that bought them. Don't ask me, but the further we go along with this thing, the further we get, or the closer we get to the end, the more damnable heresies there are going to be that are going to try to creep into the church. You say, Brother Chris, you're talking about this a lot. Yes, because it's important. It's important here. We got a home crowd tonight. Everybody in here is pretty faithful and comes often. and it's been here for many years. But we need to be on our guard. We need to be aware of those that might try to creep in and bring in damnable heresies, maybe even so denying the Lord that bought them. Verse number 2, and look what happens though, because if you don't know your Bible, look what will happen. If you don't know what the Bible says, verse number 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What I'm preaching, what I teach, and what we believe, what's in our bylaws, what's in our constitution, what we hold to, it will be evil spoken of. Why? Because people don't know their Bibles. That's why it's so important to go verse by verse through the Bible, for you to have your own Bible study and for you to try to go through your entire Bible in 1 year. Because you need to know what is in the Word of God so that you're not taken up by somebody who may be preaching a damnable heresy. And you'll say, well, Pastor, the Bible says this in this verse. For whosoever shall endure to the end shall be saved. Yeah, that's to the Jew during the tribulation. That's not to a Bible-believing Christian. Once you're born again of God, you are a son of God, and you cannot lose your salvation, and you don't have to endure the end to be saved. You're already secure in Christ. You see? So you the two can't mesh together unless you study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't rightly divide it, you're going to get yourself into a mess. That's why it's so important to be in church as much as you can, and for yourself also to be going through the word of God, so that you're not taken captive by the enemy and fall to their pernicious ways, by whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Lastly, well, look at verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, Joel Osteen, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I just threw his name out there because that's the name that came to my mind. Who through covetousness shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. And then even wouldn't open up his church when that hurricane came through down there. What nonsense. Oh, I'll take your money, but I'm not going to open a church because you might ruin some things that are in here. And we spend millions and millions of dollars on it because it's a huge auditorium. But I want you to come to my church so that I can keep living a good life. Nonsense. Nonsense. The Bible warns. See, if people were in their Bible, red flag, something's not right here. But you know what? Most people that go to the church are as greedy as he is. Because they're wanting what he's got. And they're hoping by doing to him, God's going to bless them. Because their heart's just the same as his. You see, where is the heart of those that you follow? Or those that you spend time with? Now, we can't go out of the world because we're in the world. But we can try to curb where we spend our time and with whom we spend our time with, so that we make sure that our heart is not taken away with the way their heart is going. The brethren that were in Thessalonica, they were in samples to those that were around in Macedonia and Achaia. And what I pray and hope is that the brethren here, myself included, that we are in samples to the brethren and the good churches that are around here that are good churches, that we're an example and we're a testimony as they see us and we go out here and we live our daily lives. Just as those in Thessalonica were in samples to those in Macedonia and Achaia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening. Lord, I know I get a little stirred up about some of these things, Father, but I believe they're serious. They're very serious. Especially the further we go on living in this world. Lord, they're going to deny you. They're going to deny your coming. They're going to deny where is the promise of his coming. They're going to deny all these key doctrines because things aren't going the way we think they should go. Lord, help us to be students of your word. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to spend time in prayer. Help us to spend time in Bible study. Help us spend time in meditating upon what the whole counsel of God states. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, but yet harmless as doves. Help this church, help the precious brethren here to have discernment, to have discretion. Lord, as they go about their daily lives this week, as they go to work, as they stay at home, whatever they go to, whatever they do, Lord, protect them, watch over them, keep your hand upon them. And give us all an opportunity to witness to somebody this week. Lord, bring someone across our path that we may talk to, Lord, about the blessedness, the hope that we have found in your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be with the brethren now. Help us, get us home safely tonight. Lord, watch over us through this evening. Lord, I pray you continue to help Miss Alita. Lord, I pray that that heart would take, Lord, that her body wouldn't reject it, that you would be with her tonight, be with her family, be with her kids, strengthen them, encourage them, lift them up, and watch over them, we pray. In Lord Jesus' name, amen. Amen, brethren, you're dismissed, and I love you all, and hope you have a good night and good week. Amen.